Symplectic and Lagrangian structures on mapping stacks, probably. Yeah, okay. Going to stay down? Okay. So if this okay, so sort of the original, I guess, motivation for this is sort of, all right, this is not going to work, but the theorem in PTVV, which I'm sure people are fairly familiar with now. If X is a derived stack, which is oriented or compact and oriented in dimension D, then maps from X are going to send n-shifted symplectic guys. To n minus the shifted guys. And then it also preserves Lagrangianness in the target. All right.
Yeah, okay. I can't write down there, so let's do it like this.
Send Lagrangian. Morphisms, the Lagrangian morphisms. And I mean, the example we all know and love is if X is. Sorry?
Send something to Lagrangian morphisms.
Send Lagrangian morphisms to Lagrangian morphisms.
And can you define Lagrangian morphisms?
Lagrangian morphisms, do you mean?
I mean, if sorry.
No,
on the target.
Oh, on the target.
Then that's a Lagrangian in the map.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't know. Yeah. On your right. Okay.
The maps into a Lagrangian thing.
Yeah.
Gives you a Lagrangian thing in the mapping.
Yeah. Yeah, on the source you need the boundary stuff.
Was that in PTVV?
No, it wasn't in PTVV. It's in Kalak, Damien Kalak thing, although he just says it's obvious. So.
So when you say X is a derived stack, how stacky is it allowed to be? General R10 or?
Yeah, R10 stack. Right. Although I mean,
No.
All right.
X is the target. That
yeah. Oh, yeah. Target. Target can be. I mean, it's gonna be like a smooth scheme when I do it. But yeah, in general, it could be whatever. I mean, sort of the special example of X is this Clavier D, then, you know, everything is great. And And then, I mean, again, and you know, even more specifically, if it's a K3, then everyone sort of knows that by now. You get symplectic structure on the space of sheaves or whatever. So I guess the rough organizing principle of this talk, I guess the goal sort of is find symplectic structures on other mapping stacks or sort of functors which give other mapping stacks. So so I guess one of the bigger examples of where these definitely happen are frame maps. So the general setup with these is that you have some. A priori those are going to be some derived stacks, but. D, X, and Y. Any fixed maps, from D to X, and then what is it, G from D to Y. And you want to look at the space of maps from X to Y. Let's say this is F. With a homotopy or isomorphism or what have you. What is it? Yeah, F restricted to D is isomorphic to G. So more specifically, so map, and then this is a bad notation, but map X, D, Y, F. So I'm taking the fiber of maps from X to Y over maps from D to Y. So the homotopy fiber over F. So what are the examples here? Remember the examples. Does this work? Okay, whatever. So the primary. I mean, there are a few examples classically. So,
I thought little f was supposed to vary
G with F. Oh, shoot, that should be a G down there, sorry.
F's varies, I and G are fixed, yeah.
So it's a G in the brackets, is that true?
Which brackets? Oh, yeah, no, thanks. Right, so X is P2, D is some line. I'll just write that. Y is BG, and then G is the trivial G bundle on L. I'll just write that. So this is a result of Bodichin. Someone's going to tell me I spelled it wrong. That maps from P2 L BG G has an implectic structure. So this is G principal G bundles on P2, which are trivial on some fixed line. It was, well. All right, Donaldson then. Um, And sort of the other classical one is on P1. You look at a point and then maps to some flag variety. So G is a, what is it? I think it has to be a reducible algebraic group, and then B is a Borel. And then G is, I mean, it's a point, and you can map to any point, so it doesn't really matter. And this is, who is this? Finkelberg, Kuznetsov, Markarian, Mirkovich. That this guy maps from P1 fixing a point to G mod B. This has a symplectic structure. I should put a Q here. And I'll give you the result before I tell you what the intuition is, because it's, I don't know, it's too many conditions. So the result is this, and this is more or less what I did in my thesis. But so if X is a Fano, D tilde is effective anti-canonical, smooth effective anti-canonical divisor. And then D and E are two two divisors such that D tilde equals 2D plus E. Then, so furthermore, Y is n-shifted symplectic. And then you have to pick some guy G. So G from D to Y is a map such that maps from D plus E to Y, the restriction such that this map is etal over G. So G is sitting here, it's etal over there. And is that over some other thing?
You didn't really know that D twiddle is smooth, you meant that D is smooth.
I think that D twiddle has to be smooth.
So what does it mean that D twiddle is 2D plus E, linearly equivalent?
I mean, it can be non-reduced, sort of.
What does it mean that it's smooth? It has two components. How can it be smooth?
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. I mean, as given that you need maps from D twiddle to Y or whatever to be symplectic, I don't think that works if D twiddle is not smooth. I don't know, we can talk about it later.
Your example?
Yeah.
Is this?
No, it works.
What does it mean in this example? Who's D tilde?
Yeah, no, I'll do that. Let me make sure I didn't miss anything here. Yeah, right. All right, oh yeah, also then there's also the result of the theorem, which is then, what is it, map X, D, Y, G has a, so X is Fano, D dimensional, sorry. then we get an n minus d shifted structure. And then if z to y has a Lagrangian structure, then we get a Lagrangian structure on the mapping stacks. So the second example is kind of a red herring because I can't actually do that one with this theorem. But you do some other stuff. So for the first one though, example, x is p2, and then you take both d and e to be the same line. Then in that case, what are you asking? So we want to check this atomless condition. Then it's so first of all, so we want map from 2L to BG, map from L to G to be. So we want this to be atoll over script G. So first of all, you check that the only sort of lift of this G to 2L is still trivial.
BG.
BG. Yeah, so first of all, the only extension of script G to 2L is just trivial over that guy, so 2L times G. And then what are the tangent complexes here? So we want to look at map 2L BG, it's map of so is 2L times G, so let's call that script G twiddle. So tangent complex here is R gamma of on 2L of just the trivial add G bundle. Like this. And then mapping to R gamma of, again, the trivial G bundle. And then this sort of fits into a natural sequence with R gamma of L, and then add trivial bundle twisted by minus 1. Sorry. So then because this guy has no, this guy has no cohomology, so this is a quasi-isomorphism, and that sort of gives you a atomless. I mean, you really only need formal atomless. But yeah, that gives you a atomless. So I guess, I mean, intuitively, the PTVV the pairing is for any map. So for any f from x to y. So a C point in map from x to y. The pairing is, so first of all, wedge 2 of T of the mapping space XY at F. This is wedge 2 of R gamma of pullback of the tangent complex of Y. So you do the cup product map, and you get R gamma of X with wedge 2 of pullback. With the symplectic form on the target, this maps to R gamma of X, and then you can just say O of X. And then with the orientation, this maps to K shifted by minus D. And so in the framed case, let's do it in another place. Start with wedge 2 of the T of some, what is it, map X dy g at F. So this is wedge 2 of, so the tangent complex is sort of the pullback of the tangent bit of y twisted by minus d. And then with the atalness conditions, you can sort of turn one of these minus d's into a minus d minus e. No, sorry, this is regular D still. But then when you go through the cup product guy map here, you get, what you get is X wedge 2 of F pullback material of Y. And then you sort of, I mean, this is where you get the 2D plus E thing. So minus 2D minus E. And then that's a canonical thing. So again, you hit it with the symplectic structure on the target, and then, well, these are maps. These aren't isomorphisms. And you get sort of, you know, R gamma of the canonical bundle, which is sort of what you can integrate on things. So, I mean, this is, I don't know, this is nice, but also the atalness thing is sort of a non-trivial condition. So this is, I don't know. So the next thing I'm going to say depends on some largely conjectural stuff, or if it's not conjectural anymore, then I don't know about it. So it's a sort of get close to the theme of the conference. It's about Poisson structures, but it's, I guess the conjectural part is whether or not they're actually Poisson. So there's a hypothesized correspondence, but something between that there should be between n shifted Poisson structures on a space, on a stack. And then on the other side, a space, so what is it? A formal stack Y with an n plus 1 shifted symplectic structure and a map X to Y with a Lagrangian structure on that map. So let me sort of give you a couple of suggestive examples that at least, you know, gesture towards this being a reasonable thing. So sort of example one is if X is itself n shifted symplectic, then X mapping to just the point with the considered with the n plus one shifted symplectic structure on it is Lagrangian. And the, I mean, these two statements are equivalent, really. It has Lagrangian structure, maybe. So that's nice. And then the other one is if X is a smooth sort of ordinary not derived scheme with a Poisson structure, so let's say the Poisson structure is given by pi, and then let's say the adjoint map is pi flat. So I guess, okay. Recall from basic differential geometry or what have you, foliation is given by a map from a subbundle to a tangent bundle, which preserves the Lie bracket. But then dually, it's given by a map from the cotangent bundle to a quotient such that the Rom differential descends to the quotient. So again, another way of saying that is so a foliation is going to be given by a map from the cotangents to some other guy, let's say, I don't know, E. Such that, I'm sort of not doing this right, but such that the exterior algebra of Tx with the Durand differential to exterior powers of E with some mixed structure is a morphism of mixed complexes, or mixed, I guess, yeah, complexes. And the mixed structure epsilon is an additional part of the thing. So in this, this guy, it's so classically it's some quotient bundle of the cotangent bundle, but sort of, I don't know if this is published anywhere, but sort of in the derived setting, you can just take it to be any sheaf where you get a mixed structure on it. So in particular, wedge powers of cotangent with the Drom differential mapping to wedge powers of a tangent bundle, and then where the mixed structure is the Schoten-Myhaus bracket with pi. This is a foliation. So we can form a quotient by this foliation. So it's it's sort of a, it's not really analogous to the classical thing because this is just an infinitesimal quotient by pi flat or whatever. So I claim this is one shift that's symplectic. So I mean, if you look at the cotangent complex, it's basically just given by this pi sharp. So this is sitting in degree 0 and 1, pi flat. And then there's an obvious one form in the, or two form, one shifted two form, which is when you look at the wedge 2 of this, you get wedge 2 that mapping to T dual tensor T, and then mapping to. So again, there's sort of in degree 1, there's an obvious thing to take here, which is the identity here. And then you can sort of go through and check that that's legitimately a symplectic structure on that.
So why do you call that foliation? Isn't that just sort of like, doesn't that work for any DGLE algebra? What, there's no condition on sort of the anchor being, that's the dual of the anchor, right? And that's like, how do you see that's injective or something like that?
Yeah, so it's not injective in
the same thing.
I mean, it's yeah, it's that's sort of why you have to do it in a stacky way and not just, yeah.
I guess I was just sort of objecting to calling out foliation.
Yeah, no, that's valid, but also, yeah. And then, I guess, okay, let's do it another place. So the other half is conversely given some one shifted symplectic Y and then a Lagrangian with Lagrangian structure. Just by virtue of the Lagrangian structure, there's an isomorphism from the relative. So this is, if this is F, so there's an isomorphism from the relative tangent bundle of F to the cotangent bundle of X, and then this maps sort of naturally into piece of X. So this is an isomorphism. So this gives you, and I mean there's stuff to check, but this gives you the Poisson structure in the classical sense. So this is sort of assuming you ignore all higher closeness data and coherences and most things. This is what the equivalence is, but it's sort of not proven in general.
They just told me that they proved it.
They proved it. Oh, good. All right. So if it's proven, then that's all right. I mean, with this sort of again, if we're gonna call, okay, I don't know what to do if it's proven. So let's. So if we say that a Poisson structure on Y on X is given by one of these things, so. So n shifted. So I've been calling these quasi-Poisson things, but can I drop the quasi? I don't know. It's mostly more work when you're writing things. Is n plus 1 shifted? Symplectic y, and then plus x to y with Lagrangian structure. And then you can do in the same way you can do coisotropic structures on maps. So let me just say coisotropic structure on W going to X is so there's a bunch of data. It's X prime going into Y with a Lagrangian structure. So I guess let's call this guy, I don't know, G. And then a lift of G to say G tilde X times Y X prime. So this, I mean, this is a Lagrangian intersection, so it's also symplectic. So then the other thing is a Lagrangian structure. On G tilde. So it's, I mean, most, a lot of statements about Poisson stuff, if you use this, are easy. Or I mean, they're, if you turn them into statements about symplectic structures and Lagrangian structures, and it's not any more hard than sort of the original theorems. So coisotropic intersections over Poisson guys are also Poisson shifted by one less. They work well with mapping spaces. They're all nice. And then sort of the punchline is, for me, the punchline anyway is for frame maps. Again, we're looking at X of Fano D tilde equals 2D plus E effective anticanonical. And then Y is Poisson. And shifted Poisson even. Given by Y to Z. So then if map from X to Z, maps from X to Z and then just so that the Z is not a derived Artin scheme in general. It can be a formal thing, but it still sort of works if all the mapping spaces are themselves derived Artin schemes. So if everything is a derived Artin scheme, basically. Stacks, sorry. Yeah, finally presentable. Um, Venn maps X, D, Y, G has an N minus B shifted Poisson structure. And then this is sort of independent of any conditions on D plus E or whatever.
Two questions about hypotheses.
Sure.
Do you really use at some point that the anticanonical is ample? Do you really need ponderable or just an effective anticanonical as a
I think I actually only need effective anticanonical divisor. I'm ultimately basing this on one of Damian's theorems, which I think does require Fano. So I'll say yes. I think you need to use a Lefschetz hyperplane theorem at some point, but
I guess you actually fix a section of the anticanonical bundle at some point? I mean, not just that it's but you actually fix the section that cuts out B tilde, or?
I don't think it really matters. You have to cut out D tilde.
In the same way that if you want the symplectic structure on some mapping stack out of a Poisson, you actually fix a volume form.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. So just as a dumb example, going back to the framed sheaves on P2, if G is a non-trivial G bundle on line. Then this space mapped P2L BG G. It still has a Poisson structure on it. And generally, it's not symplectic. All right. So I guess for the rest of this, I'm going to mention sort of a couple of other situations which are still, I guess, under consideration or still working on them. In the particular case that we look at maps to perf, the moduli stack of perfect complexes. So for maps, it's a perf, or R perf, I just write perf. We sort of have more maps, more stuff we can do with it than the general case, I guess. So I guess, how do I put this? So there's sort of a couple interesting things about perf. So one of them is that if D mapping into X, we have some D mapping into X. Let's say it's some divisor mapping into a variety or whatever. Then we sort of have a map going the wrong way, I guess. So a push forward map from B to X, perfect B to perfect X. And so this is, I guess, okay. This is a small thing, so I'll just say it. So right now, if X is d-dimensional Calabi-Yau, and D is any smooth divisor, so I definitely need smooth here. Then I push forward has a Lagrangian structure. So that's sort of one thing. But then, sorry, I don't have a transition for this part. The other interesting thing is if we have an open Calabi-Yau rather than just like a proper thing. Let's say U equals X minus D is an open Calabi-Yau. So I guess there's some non-vanishing top form. Zero P form. Then we can look at compactly supported perfect complexes on U. And then this also has a 2 minus D shifted symplectic structure. I can intuitively what's going on is the tangent complex of perf C of U is X of at some complex E is X of E with itself shifted by one minus one, not one. And so you can take this as X on X just by extending by zero. So then if you take the wedge product of two of these guys, again, it's wedge two of whatever this is. You can sort of do the standard thing where you multiply them and take the trace and everything, but sort of because these are supported away from D, you can just twist it by whatever you want. So let's see, this X. So again, it's twisted away from D, it sort of doesn't matter that I stuck that in there. And you can take a trace map to, I'm sort of doing this wrong, but I guess sorry, yeah. If you twist by the canonical bundle, assuming you have a non-vanishing top form on U, K sub X is sort of happens away from E, so you can twist by whatever you want, and then again you get O sub X or X K sub X. And then this is sort of the right thing to integrate. And I guess, I mean, this is, you know, whatever, but to a certain extent, the real cool thing about proof of D is that it is a category rather than just, you know, a space of stuff. So I'm sort of interested at sort of, I don't know, coming up with categorical versions of these for non-commutative spaces.
How is this thing different from Pregel's?
I haven't really seen Pregel's. I think it's. I think the result is largely the same. He does it differently, and I think it's sort of only for some cases.
But the statement is the same.
Yeah.
Do you realize this as a mapping stack, or do you realize this as moduli of objects in some category?
So I mean, it's this one is a mapping stack, or it's this one is a mapping stack. Although it's, I don't know, I'm sort of looking at a way to get it as a moduli of objects.
I can schedule it tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I'll wait for that then.
And when you say open Klaviyo, do you assume that your volume form has like simple poles along D, or do you really need D in order to do this as a mapping stack, or?
That's sort of. I'm not.
So I claim if you realize this is a moduli of objects, then you don't.
I mean the actual thing you get just doesn't depend on D at all. So it's.
Okay, awesome. But you don't have to assume the existence of an HD.
Yeah, so.
This is Poisson or symplectic?
I think it's symplectic. It should be symplectic.
I mean, the. Oh,
never
mind.
You believe it?
Yes,
I
found
a C.
Okay.
The C.
I missed the C.
Yeah. With the C. No, without the C, you're. Yeah, I mean. To get a symplectic structure, you need to integrate stuff, and then without the C, you're you know, dead in the water. So I don't know. I sort of didn't have a conclusion when I wrote this, so this is, I guess, the end of it. So thanks for listening.
So you mentioned at the beginning the monopoles example.
Oh, no, I didn't do it. Yeah, sorry. I mean, because you need the Poisson thing to actually do it. So it's what is it? It's map P1 P G mod B. Target doesn't matter. It's obvious. So I mean, just G mod B doesn't have a one shifted symplectic form or a Poisson form. I mean, it has a zero. Poisson form, but it, you know, there's no, just looking at the tangent complex, it's not going to happen. So what you do is you say it's, you write it as a product over, I mean, you use the whole G mod B going to B going to BG thing. So classifying stack of Borel subgroup. So you write it as a product of these guys. And at this point, I'll say that you don't need to do it. If you do it with a parabolic, it's you get a Poisson structure here. So I'll just do it for that case. So BP going into BG is coisotropic. So what happens is you get a symplectic structure here, but it's sort of one shifted. But it's sort of, it doesn't matter because you need to look at it as a Poisson structure anyway. So this is one shifted Poisson. This is coisotropic. This is actually coisotropic too. You're sort of mapping onto you're mapping onto the component of this, which is just the point. So it's coisotropic. And then coisotropic products over Poisson guys are, again, Poisson of the where the shift is one left. So this is zero shifted Poisson. So that gives you the Poisson structure on this guy. And then in the specific case where P is the Borel, you check that it's Poisson because, I mean, sort of in general, you check that it's Poisson that it's because map P1, P, G mod B, Q is going over map P1, P, BHQ, so where H is a torus. And then there's only one kind of torus bundle on the P1, and you're fixing a point. So this is going to be a bunch of points with the whatever obvious minus one shifted symplectic structure. That gives you the symplectic structure there.
Questions?
Yeah.
Do you know how to extend something like this, like quasi maps?
I'm not sure what quasi maps are.
It's
I did look at those a little, and I don't know in general.
Other questions? Let's think about the game.